Hey everyone, this is another grand posting for the AAA podcast. This is an audio version, the first one ever done. It's for this blog post, which is Anime of Yesteryear Presents, that little ol' OVA, and I'll be talking about Soul Bianca 2 for this upcoming review. I decided to go to audio because I just don't have the effort or the will to write something out. And I've been super busy with school lately. Like, I've been trying to get around to watching the second OVA again to take notes and everything. But yeah, I've finally found some time to be able to do this. So I'm now getting a chance to talk up, to finally post something up on the site. So I can put something down as a blog, and I think I'm getting kind of tired using the whole, oh, I went through a drunken phase, and this story happened because I watched this anime under influence, which that's true half the time. And I figured I'll try a different route by doing the audio stuff, because I think that'll be quicker to do. But yeah, I'm going to talk about the second OVA to Soul Bianca. I'm not talking about Legacy. This is the second one that came after the original one, and this is my supposed sequel to my very first review that I wrote over a year ago for this site, if any of you guys care to remember or go back, but I'll definitely post a link to that in the post. But I'll go ahead and start off with my review on this. So Soul Bianca 2 came out a year after, and a year since the, or about a year or two since the first one came out. I think it was actually officially released in the States in '92. Let me double check that real quick. Right, it was released in the States in 1992 on VHS. And pretty much this is kind of a continuation of the first OVA, kind of what I wrote about. Pretty much in this one, it's not a lot of action. And it's really, I mean, there's action in the beginning, and then it really picks up at the end. But it's kind of this whole, it just doesn't have the same feel as the first one, because I love and remember the first one offhand, like entirely, but excuse me. But yeah, the second one, like, even when I first remember watching this, like, I didn't think too highly of it, and I've always been like hesitant, I've always picking it up in the wild, and I've had a few chances, but I've never done it. And I guess, you know, the collector that I am now, I should have done it, but it's no big deal. I mean, even after rewatching it a second time last night, I didn't think it was really all that bad, supposedly. I mean, it still had that feeling it didn't really, like, stick as well as the first one, but I mean, it does have some pretty cool stuff that happens. Alright, so, but in this OVA, it starts out with, there's a big giant space station, and the three main crew members, which is Jani. Let me see here. Feb and April are on this space cruiser thing, like a sort of a restaurant, nice place, in order to meet up with a contact so they can be able to get a nice precious material called Pasha, which is apparently really, really valuable. Like, even a small amount of Pasha is worth like a ton of money in space, like enough to buy like planets and stuff. And they wound up meeting a contact. Pretty much, but I think his name was Mr. Hunter, so they were meeting up to be able to make a deal with this. But however, Mr. Hunter had another deal with some other, I guess, space pirates, I guess, or mercenaries, who actually, this OVA starts out with them taking over the bridge of this space station that they're at. And so pretty much what happens next is that the people who are overrunning the space station have, like, these suits that I guess have telepath, are able to teleport through material, kind of like a portal system. And basically they're able to use that to get on the ship and board it and take it over fairly quickly, or at least to meet up with Mr. Hunter. But of course, by that time, he's already made a deal with the people from the Soul Bianca to be able to sell, like, one portion of that Pasha to him. And pretty much, like, once they get there, they're trying to get break into the safe. Well, that's how they get their pashas, by breaking into the safe that the criminals who already boarded it were able to get the combination from the Mr. Hunter guy. So much so that, like, Jani actually tries to get closely to them as they're in cover in this room to be able to write the combination down by using, like a magic marker on, like, a glove. And then she realizes she runs out of room on her palm, so she decides to write in the back of she decides to write on the back of the guy's head, like the main mercenary guy's head, which is like, you know, comic relief kind of thing. Like, how would she be so stupid enough to do that? But she does. And then, of course, they get kind of found out, and they take their Pasha and kind of leave. But, of course, like, chaos ensues when the main mercenary dude winds up using, like, some sort of technology to melt off their clothes as, like, a self-defense kind of thing. So he can try to get away and teleport through these, like, little robot machines that the guys are hooked up on. Kind of like, they're kind of like power armor. But, of course, it's pretty funny because, like, at one point, like, they're able to shoot at it because they obviously pack guns. And, like, at one point, the teleport, you know, cuts off halfway through some guy's body, and he winds up, like, you know, being half a man, essentially. And another dude gets, like, it messes up so badly that he just, like, constantly, like, uses it to fly out into space and just keeps going through constantly through walls and walls because there's no way to stop it. Then, of course, the ship is able to teleport because the ship has got this... The thing about the show is they haven't really explained a lot, like, regarding the full capabilities of the technology of the Sol Bianca, the ship. But it's able to teleport through any kind of objects, and it's able to get itself inside the this space station place and be able to rescue the crew on there. And they, you know, walk away with their Pasha. And, of course, by that time, the space police show up and arrest the mercenary dudes. And, of course, later on, this is kind of like the boring parts, but apparently there's, like, these worm parasite things that invade the Sol Bianca from the mercenary dudes who shot it off into the ship before they were able to escape from the space station. And so, like, maybe sometime later, on the ship, June, who's basically, like, the ship's mechanic, and she's also bonded with the ship in a certain way, pretty much comes down with a fever, like, just randomly, and, you know, is actually bedridden because of this. And, of course, at the same time, during space night, because it's always night in space, or whenever they decide to go to sleep, the parasites in the ship wind up taking over and messing up the controls, which the reason why it's caused June to be so sick. And even though it's never verbally explained this in the show, pretty much, I guess there's some sort of past with June and being connected to the ship in a way. And obviously, if the ship is messed up, she gets messed up because they're linked in a certain way, which is what we're left to assume with. And of course, the crew of the ship is able to take care of all the parasite worms, and pretty much like it, they're able to get. So once they get rid of all the parasite worms by basically just shooting at it, they get captured by the Pope, the space Popo, and they get brought into like the space station. And from there, because like the purpose of the Sol Bianca, I guess I should have laid a backstory down, is that they are space pirates, so they're obviously wanted by like every kind of government out in space. And of course, the main two people of the ship, which is like, you know, the main captain and the second mate, essentially, which is April and Feb, are captured by a man named Yuri Shiraba, who is apparently some mysterious figure that, I guess, works with the police, or what we're assumed to believe that. And, of course, he meets up with Feb and April as they're aboard to the spaceship, or station, because the whole ship has been captured. And, of course, the other girls, like Jenny, June, and May, they wind up going to the sick bay to try to help June out. So essentially, they're able to help June out in the sick bay, which obviously the police catch on later, and they obviously try to escape, and they meet up with the terrorist dude, which he was being held by the police, and we get, apparently what happens next is the fact that the ship is awakened because it's actually been able to fully repair itself, and that's kind of what I'll lead you on. You know, it's kind of like, you know, hey, is, you know, the rest of the ship crew going to be coming back? Are they going to rescue them? You know, what's going to happen kind of thing? Because, like, with these reviews, I always cut you guys short. I don't know how essentially well this came out to be articulately without me writing it and making it more interesting than me just blabbing it on. But, I mean, it was something I had to try out. But it's essentially easier for me. But the Sol Bianca anime is directed by... I guess I should talk about it a little bit. This is obviously one of my personal favorite OVAs of all time, and I do love it to death, at least especially the first one, but the second one not so much. Even if it is directed by the same person. But it is directed by a guy by the name of Katsuhito Akiyama, which he has done work for Gale Force, or Gale Force, Bubblegum Crisis, 10 Little Gale Force, this Soul Bianca. He's also done the Legacy OVAs. He's pretty much like a animation director, storyboard artist, things like that, and he works with Shinji Aramaki on certain things. He's even worked on the old Thundercats TV show. He's worked on Guyver. He's done a bunch of stuff, but I mean, I like him because he's worked on some of my favorite OAVs and anime from the 80s. And I don't know, like, I mean, really, yeah. But I mean, this OVA was actually going to originally go somewhere. It was supposed to be like a three-part series. And apparently, due to the low sales of the second one, they actually just wound up canceling the third one, which would have, tied everything together and made more sense. Which, I kind of wish they did do the third one, but I guess they try to continue that story over with Legacy, even though I've seen Legacy and I didn't really care for it too much. But I really would have liked to see the third one since it was going in a direction, which is kind of sad that, the second one ended up happening the way it did. But, again, there's some really cool action scenes in this. I mean, Soul Bianca was even recognized at Anime Expo ni back in 1993 as the best OVA at the time. So it won an award for that. It's even on the first OVA. I don't know about the second one, though. But yeah, I mean, this is just going to be like a sort of a brief little review on this, not to try to take up too much of you guys' time. And again, I'll try to do some more of these reviews. But I mean, like I said, I've been super busy trying to get my, my degree and everything, and from college. And I mean, again, this was something I've been wanting to do for over the past month and a half. It's just I just haven't had time to sit down and actually, rewatch this and then finally get sit around and doing this review. But now that I'm finally doing it, then you guys got something to listen to. So this will sort of conclude it, and I'll try to be better on time with this stuff. I haven't really heard anything telling me to get on the ball from your web mistresses of the AAA podcast, but and as long as everyone's posting up different stuff, then I guess that's cool. But this obviously concludes my second or my last part of Soul Bianca, which I did state I would cover one day when I did my very first review of this for you guys. So now that I got that out of the way, I'll see you around next time, and you guys have fun. So take care.
Yummy.